talking today.
Who will
now,
go for us? Right?
Especially if you're a guest. I just need you to know something. I generally
God was always
like
saying it.
In fact, I used to be
saying it. It's not like God suddenly started saying it when Isaiah was ready to
preach
hear it.
He'd been saying it. We just finished
Isaiah
the book of Hebrews.
Needed to be shaken.
We'll be preaching on Judges.
Now, I'd rather
coming
not
up
have
soon.
An experience. Quite
those of
to that
you
degree.
Who watch Game of Thrones will enjoy that series.
I think we need to be more intentional.
The people
about
laughing
responding.
Both have read Judges and seen Game
us
of
to
Thrones.
Do things.
Now, just a couple of things.
It'll be interesting.
I know that. But I'd like to preach through the Bible.
Okay.
Don't
but
go home and be like, okay,
Pastor
said this, I got to read
weeks,
the Bible
we're
today.
We're going
to
be doing
sort of topical series.
That.
Based on,
make,
we just finished Hebrews, right?
So we've read through Hebrews,
and
we
kind of know, and you all have told me,
you
and you're right,
if you that
I can
read
be a little chapter
weak
every day
on
in the Bible.
Application
at times,
too.
Right? I like you to know what this is about,
you,
but then so
you're
how, what now?
Never,
so we're doing a
ever,
series on
ever
how should we
read
live.
Books.
Don't try to read 12 books
to Francis Schaeffer,
who did a great video series. It's quite archaic now, but still good content on how do we live if what we say.
Start
if this is what
small,
we say we
not
believe,
in a community
how do we
at
live?
All.
So
are you a person
we'll
who's like
talking
no, no, no,
about?
I don't do groups
a little bit for
we'll
a few weeks.
We don't go to K group and the class,
hopefully.
But
fingers
do go
crossed.
To one.
Pray for me. Practical things that we can do
think
if
through.
We believe
I need
what
community
we say
in my
do.
Life.
So I am going to just kind of get started.
Small,
but let me pray for
maybe.
Us first.
It's okay.
And
baby steps are better than no
steps. God,
if you don't give it all
with us.
You don't give money,
and
but you feel
and
like God might be prodding you
here.
Don't try to get
10%
this year.
To say to us,
Duck and the Deacons,
from your word and both a lot of things
give
that we've
five,
learned from
though.
Your word, help us to put these things into action.
You know,
I pray
if
that
you
we
feel
will
God is
be
calling
different
you, you need to give,
because
start
of what we
small.
Believe.
Next year you can give 10.
Be with us as we hear what
you
have
don't pray
to say.
At all.
In your name.
You don't pray.
Amen.
That's okay.
All right. First
but
of all,
I want to spend 2 hours
I want to talk about logic.
Spend 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the
right.
evening.
3 minutes.
Human beings,
do,
you
do
and me,
what is
we
manageable,
but
probably the
only
legitimate
steps
that
you can
exist.
Take.
Most
to seek
creatures,
God, to know him,
in creation,
to
act
to
on
know
their own
his
self-interest.
Community.
You're hungry, you eat. Right? Whatever.
Take
you do
some
what
steps.
You need exercise, you run. Whatever.
And second,
animals
and most
important,
are smart
enough
to
do
what is
in their
own
like
best
all
interest.
About do these things.
We are not.
Remember this.
If you don't how, remember
I mean,
else,
all of us here can recognize
this.
Those times that we
you
think,
do all this stuff
well, I really
that you
should
want
do
to.
This.
I know that
still
what's
won't
good
measure
for me.
Up.
But I'm not. I want to do this
okay.
instead.
The person
that's
here
not
that's
logical.
Here every time the doors
so I want
are
us
open.
To be logical. And what I mean is, by
he's not good enough.
When I talk about law, okay. Jesus Christ,
I'm using things you might
all
remember from
is
intro
by grace.
To philosophy.
Everything
right?
That we are.
If
okay? don't
January
don't get hit,
is always
thinking,
cold.
Well, I've done
we
everything
pretty
on the
much all
list.
Agree on that.
It's only been a month,
think,
and I've done it all.
Well, and if
still
January
a sinner
is 5 months from now,
on grace, you're just a sinner dependent on grace.
Oh, that knows Jesus a little bit better now,
and hopefully knows how much
knows a little more.
If
how
it's
badly
cold,
you need
if January is cold, and if January
the
is
day
in 5 months,
stop limping,
then 5 months from
isn't
now,
isn't the
will
day
be cold.
That the ankle is
that's
healed?
Illogical.
It's just the day that we've forgotten
right?
pain.
We
now, it would not be logical.
It might
that
be
true. People who will always
but it wouldn't
win.
Necessarily follow that
but
Jesus,
this winter is going to be colder
he's not
than
dragging
winter.
Us, he will carry.
See why that might not really be part of logic?
We're
you guys with me?
Dependent on him.
We understand
everything.
How this works.
We're
all
even
right.
dependent. I'm
dependent
on
I want us
on
to
him
think
about what we've been talking about.
To make a couple of you guys
we
say,
learned in Hebrews.
Maybe I'll do
if
that.
If Christ
this,
is our only
maybe
certain
I'll
rescuer
I'm not
a hero.
It.
The
I
only
no
hope we have. Now,
I want to
read from verse from, we read this from
and
Hebrews
I believe
chapter 6.
By his
we
grace,
have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into
that
the
looks
inner
like
place
broken
behind the
people
curtain where
depending
Jesus is
on
gone
each
as
other,
a forerunner
crying
on
out to him.
Now,
for
when
mercy,
we read that in Hebrews,
and depending
we're
on
about
him
that illustration
every
of
step
how
of the way,
in
the
long
world,
way,
the Mediterranean, the
maybe
ships, and
actually
the tide
was low,
just the
ships
more
would
logical,
kind of stop right outside of harbor.
We say
tide was low, and a forerunner,
pray for
what was called a boat, would come out, get the boats.
anchor and bring it and drop it in the harbor as a certainty.
Remember
to
our
that
limp
boat and the men on it,
that it would that enter the harbor.
We have fully
that's what
completely
we're being
told.
On you
Christ
for
is
everything.
This certain hope that we have,
but God also
an anchor
that
in heaven, and all we
got to
do is pull on the line and we go home.
Call us into
have
action
certain
in
hope.
Different places.
If Christ is our only certain
it is
hope
that you're calling us to,
and if
and
humans
I pray
are
that we will have
created
the strength and the
right
courage
if we
to
must
follow you.
Worship.
Now, we won't be
just
people
for a minute
who walk away or slap your hand
church,
away, but
we
all
will be
bought
into
who are depending on you,
said,
who know
our hearts are
on
restless
you,
until they find their rest
or
in you, meaning
you for that
we
reason.
Will wander around aimlessly
who
trying our best
our heads,
to find things to put
our
rest
hearts,
in
with our time
and, we will fail.
And with each other.
Pascal said, there's a God-shaped hole in every heart that only God can fill. We keep trying to shove things in there, but they don't fit, they don't work. Calvin said, the human heart is an idol factory. We will make things to worship. We so desperately must worship that we will find whatever we can. So if Christ is our only hope, and if we must worship something, and if, and this is the whole point of the book of Hebrews, Christ is superior to everything else. Right? You with me? If, then the smart bet centers its life on the worship of Christ. That's the smart thing to do. That's the logical conclusion. That's what we should do. Center, if all these things, if we hold that these things are truth, we should center our lives on the worship of Christ. Right? We're all like, yeah, absolutely. If I were in another part of the country, there'd be people saying, yes, sir, preach it, brother, amen. Right? Can I get an amen? All right. We do. We all agree with this. Sure, that's logical. But we'll go home. We'll eat lunch. We'll forget most of what I have to say this morning. And I'm not blaming. I do too, by the way. But then, sometime around dinner maybe, we will begin to declare the goodness and the worth and the value of relationships that are destructive to us, of our own reputation in the eyes of others, of substances that we like to abuse, of stuff, of goodies, things we can have, of money. We will declare with our actions the goodness of all these other things, which is worship. We center our lives around the worship of these other things. Our actions will always tell us what we really love. The longest 18 inches in the world is between the head and the heart. Some of you tall people are like, sure, Jared, 18 inches. But it's a long way between what we know and what we love and how we live. So I want us to be logical. I want us to live according to what we believe. And so we're going to be talking about this. Now, I need to admit right off the bat that I have zero authority. I am as illogical as anyone. I have a faucet in my house that's dripped for about 3 years. When it's on. Only when it's on, right? Supposed to go out that way, shower, supposed to drip, 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 constant dripping. It'll take me about 10 minutes. I need to unscrew it, put about 4 inches of Teflon tape on it, screw it back on, I'm done. 3 years. I mean, so you see, my authority, I'm just being honest, I'm as illogical as anybody else. Now, I did just finish this deck and this big backyard project, so I think that'll buy me some house cred for a little bit, if I didn't just paint myself into a corner. You recognize it, you got to do something about it, right? But we need to be a little more logical. And what we're going to talk about today is living with intentionality, making a decision. My dad likes to say, you plan your work and then you work your plan. You've heard that, some of you I know. This is what Ephesians says. Paul wrote this. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Now, you know, first time I heard that, days aren't evil? What does that even mean? What does it mean that days are evil? Okay, here. If you have Netflix, you know what that means. Eighth episode of House of Cards, you got to be at work in an hour and a half. Oh, should have slept last night. The days are evil. That's what it means. They tick away quickly, and we lose it. And so we need to decide. We need to make some commitments, and we need to make some decisions to be intentional about what we do if we believe these premises, if we think it is wise to center our lives around the worship of Christ. Two things. The first is we need to seek God. Matthew 6 says, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and kingdom of God and my righteousness and all everything else will be what you need. The other things will be added, will be given to you. Seek that, not this. Right? Psalm 27 is a good example of someone crying out, seeking God. A few verses, starting in verse 7. It says, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Now, let me just pause. I'm going to read a little bit more, but I need to point out, this guy is writing this poem, this song to God, and he's seeking God, but in a sense, he's recognizing that God feels distant. So let's own that. It's in here. It's in the Bible. There are times when it feels like, where are you? Don't. I'm seeking you. I'm trying. He keeps going, and he's not giving up. He says, for my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord. I love this. In the land of the living. Sometimes we think, oh, well, I'll see the goodness of the Lord in heaven, right? No, now. Life might be upside down. Things might hurt. But I believe that before I'm gone, in the land of the living, I will see his goodness. He says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. There's a lot of seeking in that. Waiting and seeking and trying and praying and crying out. Great. So now you might ask, okay, fine. Jared, you already said your week on application. How? Right? Give me some steps. All right. How? First of all, we seek God with all of our being. Basically, intellectually and relationally. Human relationships are the same way. We need time. We need knowledge. We need to know who we're talking to, who we're talking about. We need knowledge. We need time. We need connection and intimacy. These things have to happen for a human relationship to thrive. You ladies know what I'm talking about when your husband gets like I do sometimes and just doesn't talk for about a week. Right? We need to talk. We need to know. We need to spend time together. By the way, that FYI, that is the real danger and draw of probably the greatest killer of the church right now, is porn, is that it's a false intimacy, right? You don't have to give nothing, and you can get this feeling of sense of having received intimacy, right? So it's like we become black holes. That's what happens. Take, 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 never give anything. That is a real danger for all of us, I think, to become a human black hole, sucking everything in, and we're only worried about us. We don't care about the other. It's just something to be aware of. But our relationship with God is just like a human relationship. We need to know who we're talking about. Some of you, you got a best friend or maybe a spouse sitting next to you. If I were to say to you, tell me about your friend, your wife. When's her birthday? What's her favorite food? What are some of her hobbies? And you were to say to me, oh, I don't worry about those little things. Ladies? But how often do we do that with God? I don't need to know all that little stuff. I got the big thing. She's pretty. Right? We can't do that. We need to know who he is. We need to know. We need to at least seek to know. I mean, granted, we're not talking about a car. We're talking about the king of the universe. But we could know. We could try to know a lot more than we often do. So how? There's some classes starting up. 11 o'clock Sundays all around this building, whatever rooms we can find them. There's a men's group and a women's group. They're going to do great books. I'm thrilled about what you all are doing. Chris is leading a class through a book on parenting. Casey and Bruce are going to be doing a study on a Tim Keller book, Prodigal God, things that will seek to help us know who we're talking about. You're going to know God come and listen to me talk for an hour every week. I promise you that. Know him. Try to understand him. Find out who he is. There's books out under that TV. I'd love it if you could make a little donation in the slot, but so we can keep buying more. But those books I picked because I want you all to be reading. Great books that will help you know more about who God is. You gotta know him. Second, you gotta spend time with him. Take the time to invest a little bit. The way we often treat God, thank God, he is way more patient with us than a spouse or a best friend would be, because we can go years without talking to some of us sometimes, right? He waits. He sits there and waits for us to come along and speak. We can do that through Bible reading. Sit down 5 minutes, read the Bible. Prayer. Journaling is a great, great exercise that I have had a on-again, off-again relationship with for a long time, but it's a great way to sit down. It makes me focus my thoughts and write out my prayers. Sometimes my prayers, what I'm thinking, God, do this, here's what I'm concerned about right now, and it helps. It's a way to just be able to stop and literally spend time with God. These are some things that you can do to spend time with him. You know him? You spend time with him, find out who he is, spend time with him. And then third, we need to be seeking God in community. Galatians 6 says, bear one another's burdens. 1 Peter would write, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Anybody love people earnestly that you don't really ever speak to? We need to be seeking God in community. We're stressing these K groups and these classes this year, essentially, and I've not put it this way before, but I'm going to now, because we need to recover church. We need to recover what church is supposed to be. Church is not a weekly performance where me and the worship team get up here and you all sit in the chairs and we put on a show. That's not what church is. Church, in God's design, is a group of messed up, broken people, limping the best they can, praying for each other, loving each other, sharing with each other, bearing one another's burdens, loving one another earnestly in these messed up communities. That's what church, really, in the way God built it. What we've done, and I don't mean UBCC, I mean the American West, has done with the church is what we've done with many of our neighborhoods. We've gone in and we've painted the fronts and we've replaced all the windows and we've rehabbed it. We've upped the prices. And now the people who know they belong here, they're either priced out or they don't feel welcome anymore. We're not a safe place anymore for people who know just how messed up they are. And let's be honest, we're all just as messed up as anybody else. Nobody here has a corner on perfection. Not me up front, I can tell you that. And let me say this just as clearly as I can, because I believe it with all of my heart. I truly do. If you want your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren to be in church, and your great-great-great-great-grandchildren to be in church, there's one major thing that you can do. Can't ever guarantee it. Pray and trust God. But the biggie is not how you vote or who wins or any of that nonsense. It's not going to do it. Here's the biggie. Here's what you can do to do your best to make sure that happens. Is you can start being real in community. You can start saying, here are my struggles. I need you to pray for me because my marriage is in trouble. You stop pretending. People come in. And if we look like, we got it all together, either we're a bunch of liars, or we really do. And either way, the people who long for authentic community, who long for a safe place for broken people, I'll go find somewhere else because this isn't the place for me. That's what God designed the church to be. We need to start bearing burdens, real burdens. Not pray for me because you know, gossip. Real things. Real struggles. Start bearing. Now that means somebody's got to start sharing. Or bear them, get a share. And that means you can't wait around for the perfect person, because if you do, we're going to literally be waiting until the end of time. No, somebody's got to start sharing. We got to stop pretending that we're perfect. Stop saying fine. When people ask, first shore line, yeah, I get that. We need safe places where we can say, no, it's not fine. We need that for us and for people who are looking for those places. We got to be honest. So we seek Him with our heads, with our hearts, with each other. We're seeking God. And the second thing that we need to be doing, if we believe all of this to be true, we believe that it's the logical thing to center our lives around worship of Christ. The second thing we need to do is respond when He calls. Matthew 4, the scene, Jesus walking along, and he sees these guys on the beach, throwing nets in the water, and He says to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And we're told, immediately, they left their nets and followed Him. He did it again, going on there, he sees two other guys, John and James, they're mending their nets, and He calls to them, and He says, follow me, immediately. And these guys, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, they left thriving business. We have archaeological evidence that demonstrates that the house of Zebedee had a really big fishing production. And they just left it immediately. They followed Him immediately. I don't know if I can ever say immediately I've responded to God in that way. In fact, my favorite ending, the famous footprints poem. You guys know that poem, right? I think everybody on the planet knows that poem. The two sets of footprints, sometimes there's one and a little back. Why is there only one? That's what I was carrying. My favorite alternate ending is, I look back and there's these grooves in the sand. And I said, God, what's the grooves? That's where I was dragging you, kicking and screaming. That's my story. God pokes and prods at us. He speaks. I know somebody who always, they tell me, when there's a struggle. We all have these, right? There's that person. That person I struggle with. I don't want to be around that person. We all have a personal life. Let's be honest. Because we're a mess. We're broken sinners. We can say it. Yes, the pastor can say it. There are people that I struggle with. But I know somebody who tells me that every time there's somebody like that, they end up in a small group with them. That's God's grace. The poking and prodding. That is. Maybe we need to forgive somebody. Maybe there's somebody out there that says, no, here's what you need to do. Maybe you need to give. Maybe you ever had that moment when God's like, just put somebody in your heart, and you're like, gosh, pray for them. Pray for them. Do it. Somebody here is being poked and prodded to get into a K group or a class this fall. I'm absolutely sure of it. In the back of your mind, you're like, I don't want to. Maybe you're being poked or prodded about sharing a burden. Listen, the only reason that we don't listen. When we hear those voices and we hear these things, the only reason that we don't listen is fear. I'm afraid what might happen. Self-protection. Nobody else. King of the universe won't protect me. I'm the only one that can do that. And doubt. They won't respond the way you think they'll respond. We fear, we protect ourselves, we struggle, we doubt, so we don't respond. But we have to be intentional. We have to make a decision, we have to commit that when God calls, we hear it, we know He's calling us to do something, we will follow. We will respond to that. 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, do not quench the Spirit. Now, there's always been, I've always kind of struggled with how that is understood and different things that we might. But here's one way that I understand it, and that is slapping God's hand away when he's trying to speak to you. When he's poking at you, right? And eventually, one of two things is going to happen. If you do that long enough, maybe both. It's harder to hear him. Harder and harder to hear what he has to say. Alternatively, and maybe this comes a little bit later, but later it's getting harder, he's going to have to speak a little louder. Now let me ask you, which do you prefer? Do you just want to not hear God speak to you anymore? Or do you want the creator of the universe to grab you by the shoulders and shake you? I don't think we want either one. That's what he will do. If we don't respond, we're not intentional about following when he calls, doing what he says, there's this great scene. I love it in Isaiah 6. It's one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. There's this image when Isaiah is sort of recommissioned to actually ministry. And it's there's this scene, you might be familiar with it, where there's angels flying around the throne, heaven has smoke, columns and pillars, and all this big scene of everything shaking and smoking, and Isaiah, I love this line, he falls on his face and he says, woe is me. That's a great word in this kind of, whoa, woe is me. And he says, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. I am a mess, and I am standing in the presence of God.